Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Saints at Rams. 4:29 in the second quarter. 2nd and 7 on the Saints 7. What happens?
Oh, Josh Reynolds touchdown, off-schedule play versus a three-man rush.
You're absolutely
are
right.
Are you kidding me?
You're unbelievable. Like now we are going to go to, this is Sean McVay's time in Washington.
Oh, no.
So we're bringing it back to 2015, week 7. Bucks at Skins.
Yep.
2nd and 7 on the Tampa Bay 24. 58 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline. Set up the first down, and then how did that drive end?
Jordan Reed touchdown and a 4x1 individual ISO slant.
And what meme was that game?
You like that.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That is Sean McVay, the Rams genius, the Rain Man, the Ram Man.
See,
from Sims and Lefko podcast.
That's why when he recites the Bear starters, that's not alone on its own that impressive, but you think of that and you know he's capable of
in
what
the
we
context
just heard
of that.
Yeah, in the context of that.
If you really got him like unawares and you just asked him, hey, what's the third play of the game going to be? He would rattle it off without thinking.
Yeah, maybe.
And that could give the Bears an opportunity.
There you go.
You guys know had Sean McVay's like a year and a half younger than Connor McKnight, by the way.
Yeah,
just throwing it out there.
Really?
Just throwing it out there.
I just hope it's not some sort of like, we don't find out there's a crippling brain tumor that allows him that power, like that Travolta movie or something.
Yeah, yeah, that Travolta movie.
It's going to bring us all down.
It's a dark turn.
I hope that's not what
I like
it is. I'm rooting for him, not
yeah,
the brain tumor.
You like most men younger than you to
Prince
have brain
of darkness,
tumors.
Yeah,
Connor I'm just
McKnight.
Worried. Well, listen,
Connor dreams of being the youngest
man. Hey, did you see what this wunderkind has done? What are you doing, you schlub? You're wearing your workout shirt to work in the morning. Like, that's it worries me, you know? So now I have to
We
want to
thank
attack.
Everyone. Thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing. And
thank you most of all for listening all week.
Thank you most of all to Tavern at the Park.
We want to thank you and thank the Ball State men's basketball team.
Yes, the
that's
Red
right.
Birds. Tavern at the
Go
Park.
Go Cardinals.
I'm not kidding you. They have that's their weekend brunch.
That's legit, man.
And then we had every bit of it. And that is like the best brunch you'll ever stumble across.
It's up there.
You know what goes into making a good hollandaise sauce? You know how hard it is to make to get hollandaise right and then to put it on absolutely everything, which is my philosophy with when you have hollandaise. Put
slather
it on everything.
I was wondering why you were pouring that all over the place.
Oh, I could bathe in it. It's
that's
so
what it looked
good.
Like.
Shots.
Even on the French toast.
Our thanks to Dustin for his contribution, for the lovely week he's had. To Kevbo, horrible jersey you're wearing. And, of course, Eli filling in for Ray. We want to thank Ray, too. Ray's got to do the game Sunday night.
He's working Sunday night.
And he's going to, you know, Joniak is keeping him from us on Monday, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he is.
And now we're delighted to welcome in our friends Dan and Connor. Dan Bernstein and Connor.
Morning, guys.
Morning. Oh, I was not planning. I told myself, you know, I'm going to the gym right after work. I'm going to get on a scale, but now I'm going to have to factor in what I just put down. So
yeah, but it was worth
it, really
wasn't
good.
It?
Oh, damn. Yeah. David doesn't eat for a living, and so he can fit into his Letterman jacket. But you had a nice little breakfast.
I did have a nice little breakfast sandwich. That's kind of went away. It's nice every now and then to do that, to splurge.
It was a big win for everyone.
Yeah, it was. Thank you, Ball State.
No.
There we go.
Yeah, see, again, how about thank you, Loyola, for paying off your debts? Why aren't we celebrating the fact that you're not working with a welcher instead of celebrating?
That's right.
You know,
it's the best way to lose a bet.
You know, it is.
Buy
we
yourself
all win.
A real tasty breakfast.
If you're the tuba guy of the Ball State pep band, you're the star, huh?
Yeah. You can't just start sweating.
Is that the big – that's like dotting the I in the Ohio?
Also the right tackle.
I was going to say, that's a big deal there. I have to say how entertained I was in sort of a twisted way that driving in – and when you're talking about Trey Burton and his athletic mental block,
yes,
for some reason I find your clear discomfort with that in and of itself entertaining.
What?
The psychology.
No,
of,
it is.
Like, you're
it
rattled
was.
By it.
Yeah. I get the yips from his yips.
The idea of a pro athlete, and I'm trying to figure out what the psychological issue is here. And here's my amateur diagnosis is it forces us to confront the fragility of the human psyche. When
I think he has kids, I don't think that's accurate.
When somebody that specific, that great at what he does, can have that, it calls everything else into question, right?
That's right. That's why when I watch John Lester struggle to the extent that he does in throwing the ball to first base, I have the same reaction Mully does talking about Trey Burton. Because it's just like, really? You can throw the ball 93 miles per hour across the plate wherever you want, but you can't throw 10 feet to first base?
Well, you can do it only if Wilson Contreras comes out and swears at you.
Seven or eight times.
So, yeah, it
I mean,
is.
It's, you're it's fascinating. Legitimately bugs
I,
you.
I get squirmy about it, and of course, that's apparently not empathetic, but I wasn't bad-mouthing guy or anything else. I just don't know how to... I just feel uncomfortable with it because I don't know how to deal with it. I think it's beyond a football issue or beyond a sports issue, and that kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with the guy or anything like that.
No,
but I just
it
wouldn't
makes
know
him
how to,
vulnerable. It makes him more relatable, which makes it fascinating that he would share that.
It makes it frightening to think about what all of this. I mean, the fragility of the human psyche. Just thinking, if somebody that well trained, that practiced, and that gifted. Can have those issues. Well, the rest of us are screwed.
Right? We're all in trouble. I do think too, though, that people want to believe that they're just kind of lying in the weeds. That they're actually just setting up that play this week, and they want everyone to think that he can't run it. So everyone is expecting it to come from him. It doesn't come from him. And then when it does come from him.
So when he throws a touchdown pass,
or
the 2-point conversion to win the game on Sunday night,
it's protecting game plan.
Told you, I was just kidding about exposing myself as this weak-minded or whatever.
Oh, no, he had his pants on. But at any rate, this whole thing.
No, I don't think it's weak-minded at all. No. I think what he was being honest. I don't think he's setting up the next play.
No.
I think that his history here, it's been a brief history in Chicago, has been he's a pretty candid guy. He's a pretty genuine guy.
And he's up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, which I'm not even kidding. That is a really big honor.
It's a big deal.
Among your team and to be – centered for your first year in town is pretty awesome.
It also reinforces when he tells a truth like that, you know, assuming it is a truth and we start discussing it, it reinforces the greatness of athletes who seem to effortlessly be able to replicate things and stay the same. Like you watch Simone Biles vault or you watch the floor exercise and it's just over and over and over again and the same. And executed, and you've got one chance to do it, and she does it every time. I mean, you just see absolute transcendent athletic greatness and think about mentally where you've got to be and what's got to be locked down.
It's as impressive mentally as it is physically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, mentally.
That's what you mean.
Mentally, I'm going to do this now. I'm going to jump in the air. I'm going to spin 5 times and flip around 6 times, and I'm going to land exactly on my feet again. Because I've been doing it so many times, I know exactly where I am in space.
With everybody watching.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, we talk about the injury nexus all the time in baseball. Like, all these pitchers have gotten here, and they're there because they're the ones that didn't get hurt. Think about, like, Herb Score and all those guys that did pitch but got hurt and never left. But the idea that there's also a similar, you know, funnel through which everybody has to – you put the second deck on the baseball stadium, and all of a sudden guys can't hit. I mean, and that happens at different levels. But we don't talk about that much because we just watch the professionals and assume – that the eyes and the cameras don't do
well,
anything
to the
players,
rule.
But they
and we
do.
And we remember the exceptions. We remember the Rick Ankiels, the Mackie Sassers, the Chuck Knoblocks, the Steve Saxes, those guys.
I don't even mean from a
the
pure
Trey Burtons.
Anxiety. Yeah, right. The pure anxiety point of it, but the idea that you can't that pressure ratchets to a certain level that just doesn't happen. You know, whether that's a double A or like your pro day or something. I mean, it happens at different points for different people.
I remember being one of the rare times I was actually in the student section for a basketball game in Cameron, and Duke was playing NC State, and that's when they had the fire and ice backcourt, Chris Corciani and Rodney Monroe, and Corciani comes over for a side out of bounds, And the fans, it's like a pulsing, living organism just screaming at him. I mean, and you know, arms flying and like spittle everywhere. And he walks over and he's about to take the ball for the ref. And he literally looks at the crowd. He goes, "Oh my God." And he just sort of was staring at him, this writhing mass of humanity screaming invective at him. And a couple of years later, he was the point guard for the pro team that I was working for. We were just sitting around the airport, you know, and I asked him about that moment. And he said that even, you know, this is a battle tested top recruited point. He said he had to gather himself and get back in proper headspace.
The moment was too big?
Yeah, he just said, you like to say that, oh, the fans don't get to you. Right. The fans, he said, I couldn't believe the intensity of that. What are they so mad about?
I remember covering the Bulls, the Jordan shrug game, right?
Yeah,
and I'm writing the game story, and I'm sitting there, and he does the shrug thing after hitting another shot that they left him open for. He turns to Magic Johnson and does the shrug, and I got like a little chill down my spine. Yeah. And I swear to God, like my first impulse was like, I got to call the paper and have them get a better professional out here to do this story, because I'm never going to do this moment justice. You know, like that's the kind of thought I had in my head. It wasn't like,
get me,
wow,
Lacey
was that
Banks.
Cool? It was like, listen, we need to send someone out that can handle this because this is awesome.
So that was your.
Wasn't that really cool? That was my Trey Burton moment.
That was your Trey Burton moment. Interesting.
But I got through it. It worked out.
I can remember Jonathan Quinn. Remember him? The first.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So,
sure.
Of course. So he was brought in to be like the compete for the Bears starting job or whatever.
He was brought in
as a backup.
Terry Shays. Yeah. He knew his system.
So his first practice, you know, he's used to probably being ignored. He's walking off the practice field. I think it was Bourbon A, and about three or four of us, and the cameras come. You know, you've all seen that happen 100 times. And here's Jonathan Quinn. His eyes literally got bigger and bigger as each reporter got closer and closer. Oh. And when he went to speak, you could see his hand shaking.
Well,
you could hear his voice shaking. And you could hear him like...
That's how he was in the huddle. I'm not kidding you. I talked to people.
And you knew.
This is the honest to God truth. If you remember, I think, was it Rex who got hurt? Somebody got hurt, and he had to start. And Terry Shea, who had been running the ball, was like, now we can open up the offense. So he gets out there, and I was told that he literally couldn't stop shaking. His hands are shaking.
Well, you knew that for the moment of his first interview, anxiety was going to get the best of this guy.
And that guy was like a 7 or 8 year. He had a career as a backup. It's just once he got to play – You just
so how do teams test for that?
Brother, well, this guy stinks.
When they get a guy, they say, "Oh, we got him in the building. We get him on the board." And I know that Theo and Jed, when they interviewed managers, did some of that stress testing.
They
do some. I don't know how they do it for quarterbacks.
Here's the story of a guy who overcame it. I remember one of the first Blackhawks games I covered was a preseason game, and it was when Corey Crawford got sent back down. Right, and Niemi gets the job, but they're playing Alexander Ovechkin. Crawford's in. Ovechkin walks down the ice, gets the puck, fires one top shelf, and it goes right by Crawford like he never even saw it. And we're talking to him in the room after the game, and somebody asks him about what it was to see Ovechkin coming down the ice. And the guy's his eyes got huge, like dinner plates. He's like, "That was Alexander Ovechkin. Did you guys see?" He's like looking at us. "Did you guys see this guy?
That guy is so good.
He's fast and he's amazing." Yeah. And he just didn't.
And that was Corey Crawford, the minor league goalie.
That he wasn't winning that job and he wasn't ready to do it, but he was good enough. He was good enough later on. He just needed to see those guys come down.
It can
be
overcome, but it's fascinating when it is.
And it's amazing that guy is the guy, you know what I mean? That process and that dude has reached those heights.
You're good enough. Mentally. It's a bigger hurdle.
He was ready. It's just you see eight coming down the ice, and it's like, what am I going
to
do?
This transition is brought to you by Aloha Restoration, restoring your home to pre-disaster conditions. So Dan, I'm going to ask you to tell us what you have today, but with some of the texters and really more for myself, can you do so in your Coach K voice, since you mentioned Duke?
Well, we have very high expectations for this show because we like to hold our show to a high standard of excellence. So we're going to talk at some point with Bruce Levine about the upcoming winter meetings in Las Vegas. We think that that's going to be an enlightening and fulfilling discussion. Also, we're going to talk college football with Pete Futek. We're going to check in with an old friend in St. Louis. And Patrick Manley, he was a Duke athlete, a student athlete at Duke, a very highly successful one. Look forward to talking with him as well.
It's just a pity we didn't start earlier because you can yell at former sports writers, bring them in the locker room and scream at them.
Students.
That guy was a student sports writer, right?
No, he was.
He was like, he wrote for the paper and he ripped the team. So Mike let him have it.
It was way beyond that.
And the guy taped it.
It was way worse. It was the entire staff, the entire sports staff of the student newspaper.
He brought them all in the locker room.
Under the guise of a meet the team function. Brought them into his office in front of the team and berated them because they dared have the audacity to issue a mid-season grades on his team.
Oh, how dare they?
Yeah.
I've got the transcript of it.
Yeah, I send it to me.
I'd have a great show, guys.
All right, buddy.
We're not really going to get much
into
that.
We'll be listening, guys.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.